Welcome. To Arcade Audio.
Welcome to this week's episode of Married with Movies. I'm one of your hosts, Samantha Mullet. Sitting next to me on the couch is your other host, my beautiful husband, Chris Mullet.
Hope everyone's waiting for a whale of a time.
Oh, man. It's going to be that kind of episode?
I meant to say ready instead of waiting. I was reading to Jillian earlier, and every single word I was saying didn't sound right coming out of my mouth. So I'm really glad I don't read the box today. Because I am just tired.
You're just all discombobulated.
I am. I very much am.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Well, I'm sorry to listeners for having to hear my stupid words.
Sorry to me.
What do you live with it? You signed a piece of paper that says you have to do this for the rest of your life.
Yeah, but that piece of paper was also signed by a friend of the show, Augie Artillas. So how valid is it? If you're new here, we think we're married. We do, we know we own a lot of movies, and we talk about them once a week, together, force ourselves to spend time. There's no internet in our house right now, so we are...
What have you been doing? Well, you can.
I've been working on my hotspot.
Well, and also you can play your games without your internet, so...
Yeah, and also I can read, because I'm not an idiot like you.
I can read, just because I don't read right now...
You still struggling with those words, Buff?
Yes, I am. Look, it's been a rough day. Had a lot of technical problems at work. We have technical problems coming home. Man, you have a shoehorn up your ass when it comes to this Uno challenge.
I don't have a shoehorn. I'm just talented.
No, Samantha, there was nothing talented about what you did today.
So talented. Nothing. I played my cards in the correct order.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You literally said, "Man, I was trying to do something else."
When?
The last hand, when you gave me, like, fucking enough points to knock me the fuck out. Or, like, she reversed it. I just have bad luck.
Yeah, no, she reversed it.
In the immortal words of notable asshole Phil Hellmuth, if luck weren't involved, I'd win every one. But here we are.
Yeah, but you've been lucky in life, buddy.
I fell asleep.
Just now?
With that bullshit comment. That was such a bullshit comment that it made me drown in your crap. And then I just died.
Yo, fuck you.
Hey, did you say the date?
No, I didn't have a chance to.
Say the date.
It's July 1st. The year is half over.
Officially.
Officially.
Now it's more than half over.
Fantastic.
Right?
Blech.
Right?
Blech.
It is wild. So we just recorded 48 hours ago because
I thought you were gonna say we just saw 48 days later. It's like what?
The zombie apocalypse. No, it's at years now. 48 hours would be. Oh man, they should do a movie called 28 Hours Later, and it's just Eddie Murphy and Nick Nolte as zombies. Make it now. So we don't have a lot to talk about here, because we haven't been able to watch or do anything.
Yep.
We still haven't finished The Bear.
Have not.
Next time we record, because this goes up, I'll have to technically, yeah, so bear with us in terms of, like, the dates in which podcasts are going up, because as it stands now, this is going to air not the end of this week, because we just posted something on Monday. So I'll air this on our new day, Sunday.
I thought you were going to say our new day, Monday, or maybe Tuesday, and then we'll just keep doing it a week after, whatever day we... You should just do it differently every week.
Well, the problem is next week, though, like, I don't know when we're going to record, because I'm in Miami. We might have to watch the movie separate. I don't know. It depends on what we draw randomly today.
If you think there is any possibility that I will not fall asleep if I'm watching a movie on my own.
What do you do when I'm not fucking here?
I don't watch
what
movies.
Do you do? What do you do?
I do chores.
What chores?
So when I watched Apple Cider Vinegar, I did it while I was like folding laundry upstairs. So like I watched it while
How
I was
long
doing
it take
stuff.
You to fold fucking laundry?
Man, you wear a lot of clothes.
Not that many, and
you
used
wear
to.
At you, least you wear at least
you do
two
it so
outfits
often now.
A day.
There's, you yeah, wear I wear my work clothes and I wear my home clothes.
At least two outfits a day.
It's not my fault that I don't work from home and I can just wear the same bullshit from the waist down that you wear.
At least two outfits a day.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes on the weekends, it's like three or four.
No, it's not.
Sure is.
No, it's not.
Sure is.
You're making me sound like a fucking diva, and I'm not.
You're a little bit of a diva.
No, I'm not. I just don't like to sweat. And unfortunately, I'm the sweatiest fucking person in the state.
That's probably true. Because this dude doesn't live in Florida. This movie didn't take place in Florida.
Iowa? Idaho?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any other nuggets of humor and wisdom to share with the people? Of course not. So
you didn't even give me a chance.
That's why it was a funny thing to have happen. Was for you to not get an opportunity to say anything. And then I just say something. And also I was right. So it's even funnier. Truth and comedy. Del Close. Almost said Glenn Close. Glenn Coco. You go Glenn Coco. Coco. The Pixar movie. I'm just stream of consciousness now. Back to Uno! Dumbass Pixar game. Well, you already kind of introduced the topic of the movie we're watching. It's a random movie.
Yeah, I did it on purpose.
You always kill those segues.
It was a random movie we drew mm-hmm. from our massive movie collection. A movie neither of us had seen. I thought you had seen this movie because it was an Oscar movie.
It was, and it was one of the few that I didn't get a chance to see back at the end of 2022, beginning of 2023 when it came out for that season, just because it unfortunately like didn't hit the right time. Like local theaters for like me to go out and see it on my own.
And it was like COVID era still, right?
Nope, this is post COVID. It didn't hit a streaming service in enough time, and ultimately, like, it was like lower on my priority list in terms of like I didn't really want to see this movie. But over Black Friday, once it finally was like cheap enough, I was like, well, you know, like some people say it's fine, so we'll experience it, and I'll finally be able to judge it. And the gods have caused us to randomly draw it and watched it yesterday. So here we are talking about The Whale after I just ate half a fucking bag of M&M's.
The other half sitting right here.
A family-sized M&M's.
Waiting for you. Yo, I put this in a much bigger bag, I thought.
No, you put it in this size bag.
Just kidding.
Hit you in the goddamn jaw with these. They were in the freezer. I'll knock you out.
Please. The Whale, a film by Darren Aronofsky. Brendan Fraser's soulful, Oscar-ready performance will blow you away, says USA Today, Brian Truitt.
What? Brendan Fraser, not Fraser.
Fraser.
You're still, you know.
Fraser.
It's Fraser.
Fraser. It's Fraser. I've always said Brendan Fraser.
Most people have.
So then it's not wrong. Most people say it.
Doesn't mean that it's right. Doesn't mean that it's fucking right. I will let it slide.
Let it slide. Oh, okay. Brendan Fraser. Everyone calls it Brendan Fraser. Everyone says Brendan Fraser.
And he started to correct people. Let's echo.
No, the internet's out, you idiot.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Yeah, we know. You didn't get that. You dumbass whore. How do you?
But Chris, that's not fair. Can't be one way for 30 years and then all of a sudden changes his name.
He just never corrected people.
Okay, but that's not my fault.
Brendan Fraser.
Fraser, yeah.
It's Fraser though. Everyone says it as Fraser.
Well, if you're going to say it like that, like everyone that aggressively bad, then I'm going to count it as one.
No, everyone says it like that. That's not fair.
It doesn't mean that if everyone says it doesn't mean that it's right.
We had this argument about a word that I said that you pronounced incorrectly. So, no, that's how everyone says it. We've had this argument before. I don't remember off the top of my head. I'd have to look back at the list.
So I'll do this. So double or nothing. If you don't get anything else wrong, it counts as zero. If you get something else wrong, it counts as two. Deal?
Can I continue pronouncing it the way that I want to pronounce it then? Because the name is repeated on the back of the box.
I mean, you should technically say it the way
No, it's too to difficult for me to do that.
Okay. Just don't mess anything else up.
Okay. Frasier is absolutely extraordinary in a tour de force performance that makes The Whale more than essential viewing. It's some kind of miracle. ABC News, Good Morning America. It's because I was looking here and it was repeated. Well,
that's two.
From Darren Aronofsky comes The Whale, a story of a reclusive English teacher who attempts to reconnect with his estranged teenage daughter. Starring Brendan Fraser and based on the acclaimed play by Samuel D. Hunter. It's a piece of shit movie anyway. I don't even like Brendan Fraser.
Well, yeah, because you like Brendan Fraser.
No, I don't. You didn't even say it right time.
Fraser.
Say it again.
Fraser.
What? Say it again. Fraser. No, I want you to say it to me.
Brendan Fraser.
Huh?
Brendan Fraser.
Who? What would you have done if it said it differently?
I'd fucking throw this in front of
it. Be hilarious.
So that's two. What do you give in this movie? It's a weird one, right?
It's a weird one. That's why, like, the pause, the pregnant pause there, because...
There you go.
Hey, yo. Like, piece of shit, but...
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Like, I'm going to give it, like, a 7.
I'm also giving it a 7.
But, like, I don't want to give it a 7.
It's the most conflicted, like, positive score I've given. Yeah. Because, so, I've heard of this play before. It actually was at the Winter Garden, like, theater when it was still open. Like, when we first moved here. Cool. And I remember, like, us going, being in downtown Winter Garden and, like, picking up the program and being like, oh, I wonder what, like, plays this local theater has. I'm interested to go here. It's so close. And then I saw what there was, and I was like, oh, never mind. And, like, that's why it took us 10 years to go. They're going to close right away. And one of them was, like, The Whale, and I read the description, and I'm like, well, that sounds fucking depressing.
You weren't wrong.
And then when I saw, like, Darren Aronofsky's making a movie, I'm like, oh, that's confirmed. That is what it is.
Like,
everything I saw about this movie before actually seeing the movie, I thought I was going to fucking hate this, because... Every clip and every image I saw, which literally the only image I ever really saw was just what this poster was, which is just Brendan Fraser with like 6 chins. I was like, this is going to be incredibly cloying, melodramatic schlock that like tugs on people's heartstrings in like the worst possible way, convincing people that it's good. And it's not going to be. And it wasn't that. And it actually has, I think, a lot of merit to it.
Sure.
That doesn't change the fact that every other scene, I, like, had a flip-flopping opinion of, like, where this... Not necessarily where this was going, but, like, how I felt about it. So 7...
Exactly.
I will be shocked if I don't drop my score talking through it based on you kind of having the same vibe.
Yeah, like, exactly the same kind of reaction, to be quite honest with you. Like...
I did 7 to kind of, like, save face... To make sure that I wasn't crazy.
Well, I did 7 because I was like, oh man, this is like, this movie's won some Oscars. I probably can't give it like a 4, so let me go with like a 7.
Well, that's never stopped me. There's been plenty of Oscar movies, American Hustle, Winner's Bone, a bunch of movies that like get acclaim. I'm like, nah, man, this ain't it. Because it is what it is. I do think this is an above average movie.
Okay. That's interesting. I was going to ask you who, and maybe that's a podcast for another podcast. But let's compare Darren Aronofsky and David O. Russell.
Pass.
Not as so, people.
That's an easy one. Aronofsky,
my very last note, Aronofsky is a fucking hack.
No,
But then I was like, no, he's not. But then I was like, I don't know. Like, I just kept going back and forth on it.
So it's funny you say that. So my final note is... Not that sentiment, but I think we're on the same trail in terms of, like, this is, like, if you just showed this movie to somebody and then, like, show, like, no context to it whatsoever, no credits or anything, and then you showed people, like, the filmographies, like, as options, like, you'd be like, oh, yeah, the guy that did The Wrestler and Black Swan and Requiem for a Dream did this movie, right? Because you can tell just from, like, this, like, deep... guttural, sad, emotional place that he goes to for these character studies. And they're not bad movies. And in fact, like, I obviously love The Wrestler, and I think Black Swan is also pretty good.
But what about Mother?
Well, sometimes it gets too far in his bag, and that's where you're... Shout out to Rich, hashtag awful.
What about Noah?
What about The
Fountain?
I like The Fountain. I'm one of the few people that do. I forgot he made that movie. I don't think he's a hack. I think he's somebody that likes to possibly smell his own farts while also taking a deep dive into, like...
While taking a big old shit.
Oh, man, I wonder what farts smell like. Which is kind of apropos for this movie. And the other thing is, like, so I never got, before watching the movie, like, I just thought the title of it was, like, the title always bothered me.
because he's, like, fat like a whale.
Fat guy, it's called
instead,
a whale.
Instead of, like, it being, like, a Moby Dick, like, allegory kind of thing.
I didn't make any connection to it. Well, so.
I don't think you can without having seen the movie.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's not really apparent until you have the sounds of the sea, the essay, everything else.
Yeah. So my overall thing with it is it has not an ounce of subtlety, in my opinion, to it at all.
Babe, it opened with this guy fucking jerking himself watching gay porn. There's nothing subtle about this movie. It hits you over the head with exactly what it's going to be.
That's not what I mean by subtlety. What I meant is what it... I mean, trust me, I did write all that down almost verbatim. But what I mean is it's saying something very specific about things like binge eating and you know, homosexuality, particularly in, like, married men and isolation. And the way that it does it is, like, jarring a lot of times because there'll be this... really, like, nice, grounded, emotional scene that's just, like Brendan Fraser going to places and, like, emoting and whatnot. And then, like, it's tapped off with, like, like, this, like, grunting, hacking.
I mean, that's how he lived wretching. His life, bro.
I know, but, like, and it's still somehow, like, okay that it's like that. And I think the reason why is because this stemming from... A play, it feels very theatrical, so it makes sense where it comes from, and I've mentioned this a lot in other movies we've watched that have that etymology, that it feels inauthentic, and this doesn't, because it's isolated in one setting the entire time.
Obviously, well, yeah, it kind of has to be.
I mean, obviously, yeah.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he's not running to fucking Home Goods and picking up a
running.
Vase.
He not running. Yeah. Babe.
So, like, that, like it shouldn't work for me at all because of so many things I feel like I've complained about or how I felt on the podcast. But ultimately, it kind of does for me based off of the surprising strength I feel of, like, the story and the performances. Like,
I think it carries it. I wanted to punch Sadie Sink in her cunt. Okay, that's how you know it's good, because I'm a big fan of Sadie Sink.
I don't know if you can say that, but I think she's obviously not a child. I don't think you can threaten to punch a child in the cunt.
I can punch whoever I want.
In the cunt.
Wherever I want.
You hear that, Trump? No, I don't know.
Hey, yo. Yeah, like, the performances were phenomenal. So even if, like, the subject matter is, you know, not something I would personally seek out because of my own history with food, it's, you know, definitely overshadowed, the content is overshadowed by, like, those performances and the delivery.
And I do think it's a good script that has, like, some twists and turns and some layers.
Sure.
It's
but it's really hard to watch binge eating.
Oh, yeah,
and
I'm sure.
A story about obesity when you've struggled with, like, body dysmorphia and anorexia and bulimia for a large portion of your life.
Absolutely.
Because it was the complete opposite of that. And so it just is a little difficult psychologically for me to watch.
I mean, over the past 5 years for me, as somebody that, like, gained a lot of weight, then lost a lot of weight, and now, like, yo-yos a little bit more, you know, a lot. Like... and as someone
wasn't gonna say anything, babe. No, you're gonna have to do that to yourself.
No, I will. And as someone that's always wanted to double stack pizza slices, yeah, but like definitely having body dysmorphia in terms of like waking up and being like knowing what I had the previous day and looking at myself and just like internally, mentally, like raking myself over the coals. It definitely was a little bit of a thing as well. In terms of somebody that's isolated and having that, like, worst-case scenario guttural fear of, you know, could this happen to me? Like, what could happen? Now, that's not to say, at the same time, because of the way that the movie is, so, like, you're obviously referencing, like, kind of the penultimate, like, binge eating scene that he goes on.
Well, no, just, like, throughout.
Well, throughout the movie.
Like, you finish eating.
He's enabled.
And then he turns around and then he just eats something else.
But he's enabled and there's no real effort at any waking moment for it. And it's kind of prevalent throughout. But what I'm specifically referring to is after he has that emotional scene with...
Which was a fantastic scene.
His ex-wife, yeah. And then he has that kind of low moment. Well, no, even beyond that, I was going to say the thing that kind of kicks it off is that scene with Dan, the pizza guy, when the pizza guy kind of like sees him for the first time and like he takes it. And I think it is kind of taking it like, oh my God. And then that's when he's like stacking pizza slices and, you know, like downing shit on the fridge and whatever. Like to break the tension, I had to ask if he wanted a snack, which I felt bad about. But then like, the movie decides for him to, like, randomly just fucking puke, and, like, I kind of fucking laughed, because it's just such a weird, like, tonal, like, the way that it puts things on screen in one waking moment takes you to a very real place, and then in another moment, like, pivots and takes this left where it's like, okay, probably wouldn't have been my choice, but, you know, it's a little weird, and that happens throughout the movie a lot. So I want to get into the scenes I particularly like, which we started getting to, but like, as an example, like Aronofsky just loves this type of shit where like, you don't know that 238 over 140, whatever is bad. And then you down a Three Musketeers while whale like music plays.
Yeah.
There's a lot of tuba in this or was it tuba or it was deep. It was bass tones that invoked fat people.
Absolutely.
So like that type of stuff. I don't know if it's trying to, like, allow a common audience to identify, and that used to be something that, like, prestige Oscar movies, I felt like, did to a fault without staying in their lane and, like, staying in a particular bag. Mm. But, like, now it's, like, the way movies are, like, this is not a movie that's going to make $50 million. Like, play to the audience you know is going to play for. Yeah. And don't make artistic choices that are going to make people roll their eyes, because that's exactly the kind of stuff that I perceived this movie was going to have before we put it on.
Yeah.
And I was sad that it would stoop to those things, because normally what was sandwiched in between was really good stuff.
It was really good, like, relationship exploration and building. And, like, you had, you know, it was less about he's obese and more about, like, he's trying to rebuild the relationship with the daughter he abandoned. Yeah. And I thought that was really great that they focused on that. And there was, like, the one scene where Sadie Sink's character said, not Siri, why did that come up? Because Sadie Sink's character said, you know, like, you're disgusting, but not because you're fat, but because you left me when I was, you abandoned me when I was 8.
Yeah. And also, you're not disgusting, you know, because you're, like, a gay man, either. Like,
yeah.
It was disgusting for...
It was disgusting because you walked out when I was 8, because you wanted to fuck your student. Like, it had nothing to do with him being gay, nothing to do with him being fat. It was just, like, morally. And I thought that was a really powerful message to put, because most people, and, like, recurring throughout the movie was him being like, am I disgusting because I'm gay? Am I disgusting because I'm fat? Right? Like, that was kind of, like, always on Charlie's mind. And it really, I thought that that was a really great narrative to say. And I haven't seen the play. I wasn't familiar with
me either,
the
yeah.
work that this is based on. So, to me, I felt that that was really something special.
Yeah. As I'm revisiting, like, every scene I want to bring up that, like, I enjoyed, unfortunately, I feel like its button or its transition is then weakened by the stuff I was just talking about. So, so several examples for you. So, that first scene with Sadie Sink, it sets everything up, like, pretty effectively, and then there's this letdown because that character, I feel like, is way too mean and way too angsty to an unbelievable degree.
You just don't want to think that in 8 years when Jillian's 16, she's going to be a bitch like that.
No, she could wake up tomorrow and be a bitch like that.
I mean, that's true.
But, like, when that happens, like, that whole scene, he's being really restrained and quiet, and then all of a sudden he has, like, this groany, like output, and it creates, it allows your mind to wander in places, like, you don't want to be thinking about this character in a particular way. I followed up with it, like, it never lets up with that. When Hong Chao comes back, like, later, like the next scene, basically.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything seems to be fine. Like, he's eating a sandwich.
And then he starts choking.
He has this, like, really intense, elaborate choking scene. And, like,
she has to, like, put him over the...
Hysterical, like, melodrama type thing where it's like, we're going there. Is it probably realistic? Sure, but you're constantly battling this tone of contemplative and almost, like, exploitative in a way that I don't get down for. So the same thing goes with, I really like the moment when, like, he's reading the first thing she writes in the notebook, and it's just like, you suck, I hate you, like, whatever it is. But then he reads it again and realizes it's an iambic pentameter. And
it,
like,
was an iambic pentameter. It was a different...
Oh, it was a haiku, I'm sorry.
It's not a haiku, it was a different... It was kind of similar to a haiku, but a little bit different.
It was a haiku, I can't... It's 575. I don't know why I said iambic pentameter. It was a haiku, it was 575.
Well, okay, good.
So, I just said the wrong thing. So, but he realizes it, and it's like a moment where he's like, oh my god, she's like an accidental genus even. It's like a cool, neat little moment. Yeah. It ends with him, like, this, like, breathing and grunting that's, like...
Right, but I think it's also, like, supposed to show, like, there are... And, like, I think it's supposed to also highlight, like, his defining personality trait, which was positivity. You know, he always was positive, like, she's gonna help people, or she can't be alone, we have to be there for her, So I think that's kind of what it tried to highlight, but there's good and bad, you know?
Yeah.
In life in general and everything. But yeah, I agree. I thought that was really great.
So the scenes that, like, the stuff that I liked the most were the Charlie and Thomas scenes, because that was when Fraser is really just, like, hitting shit out of the ballpark, because... It's simple, and, like, the way that he kind of owns that character at every waking moment in terms of, like his high horse and what Charlie actually already perceives. So, like, when he's breaking down the Bible, like, early on to Thomas and, like, explaining to him, like, he knows, he gets it, he's read it, nothing he's saying is, like, surprising him at all. Like, that scene is great. Same thing at the end when kind of the layers have been pulled back fully on, like, what Thomas does, or what, you know,
or like where he's from.
Yeah, which is convoluted, and, you know, we'll get to that in a minute. But it leads into, like, his, like, kind of spiel on recounting his time with his deceased lover Alan, and, like, it's another moment of, like, him excelling, and the focus is not on the blubbering and, like, the size and the weight and the health of it all. It's him going to a place. And, like, you get it from the visual and the aesthetic, but there's nothing else, like orally about it, supporting it. It's just him getting to fucking act. And it fucking works. The same thing with, like, him turning on his camera and like what he says to the class at the end of the movie.
Yo, that was a great scene too.
Like, it's really fucking good when like that's what they allow it to be and that's what they allow it to happen. You don't need to go anywhere else. So that's the stuff I really, really liked. When it wasn't followed up with or preceded by, you know, like Tubby Lumpkins type stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree there. But yeah, can't get over how mean this girl was. And I know it came out of a place of anger. And I think that's also, you know, they showed the depth of emotion, right? Like resignation with Liz, you know, Hong Chao's character.
Yeah.
You know, anger, you know, positivity, hope, right? Like that kind of touched on all of those in intertwine them and base them around, like, you know, this guy.
Yeah.
And hit his life. And I thought that was well done.
But also at that same time, somebody that is, unfortunately, totally enabling.
Completely.
Yeah. So like each person is like kind of at their core a decent person, but like who.
The daughter's not a decent person.
But like it's the faith and the hope of Charlie in them.
Right, but faith and hope doesn't always
based on what she does for Thomas and based on the fact that she keeps coming back and you know.
The perception is that she did it to help Thomas to take him back. Or she did it because she's a bitch and she just wanted to fuck with somebody.
Sure.
Right? She kept coming back, because she loved him and even though she was angry, she still wanted her dad. Yeah, or she just wanted $120,000. Like,
sure.
And I'm not saying, like, I am a positive person and I have that same kind of outlook and optimism as Charlie's character. But, like, that's just the interpretation. Like, yeah, you can spin it positively, but I don't think that she had a redeeming quality until that scene at the very end, like the very last scene of the movie.
The end is
like,
very good.
And she's like, Daddy, like, you know, and just like starts crying. She's like, Daddy, please. And like that ending was.
The end is good.
That was good.
And it kind of earned. It got like, me. He puts it all out there. It didn't get me, surprisingly. He puts it all out there, and like it earns everything. Heartless. It's earns everything it's built up to, and it doesn't feel forced. And it is a good little like I kind of clocked it early on that it was something that she probably wrote when she was a kid. But like you could have easily,
oh my god, you're so clever.
You could have very easily, I'm just going to disregard it. You could have very easily clocked it as something that like Alan wrote or something that he wrote, like. But, like, it being what that is and it being basically what the last thing that he hears because, again, Aronofsky loves you to assume that somebody dies as soon as his movie's over. At least we get a white light in a beach dream quickly. Like, it's really good. And even the prior scene with Liz where, like, you know, she knows and he knows that it's done and over with and that's how he wants to spend his last moments with his daughter. Like that stuff works for me. There's just a lot sprinkled in that doesn't, that makes those moments when they happen feel like less than what they actually are.
Yeah.
Other things I like about the movie I want to pay attention to. So I did think like the makeup and like the bodysuit and like how they put him together looks really good, despite everything in advertisement and leading up to this movie, how it looked.
Exactly.
Like, it looks really good. Like, why did they not show more of it?
I guess they didn't want to spoil it?
I think it's pretty obvious. What's, you know? I mean, there's some stuff you can't show. You can't show him, you know, hanging down to his knees in, you know, in the shower. And you don't want to show,
him
you know,
jerking it in the back very mold. First scene.
Yeah, you don't want the first thing him is fat Brendan Fraser cranking into gay porn and wheezing and grunting until what I assumed a Jehovah's Witness showed up. That's a weird start to a movie, you know?
Not for everyone.
I wrote, we're in for a long time. That's what I wrote after that first thing. But Another thing was, it was also purposefully funny more than I expected it to be. Considering the subject matter, there's plenty of accidental and, like, inappropriate snickers and giggles and laughs, like I said before. But when, like, you know, his little reactions to things, like getting the wheelchair and him being like, "Wee," and like the some of his reactions to his daughter's like comments and stuff when she's going off on Walt Whitman about like her pretty vulgar interpretation of it.
He goes, "That's an interesting story."
Yeah, that's That's quite a way to think about that. Like,
and I think that you also appreciated this because of that, it being rooted in this guy loves to write.
Oh, sure.
And like,
that also helped, yeah.
You know, like that kind of helped ground it.
What do you mean in 2025 when my craft is basically worthless because all you have to do is just plug in your sentiments into any sort of AI tool and it just spits out whatever fucking word vomit they think you intend to say? Sure. No, it doesn't bother me at all. It has no bearing on...
Yeah, but you could teach it. You could teach it.
Thank you, Jeff. I could. I would never. As somebody that currently teaches for a living, I could never do that because I found it out myself when I was in journalism school. It's bullshit. And like, it's, I've felt this way for a very, very long time, over 20 years at this point. Like, there should be no laws and rules or like, instructing towards writing. It should just be whatever
you feel like doing.
Yes.
Like if you want to put a comma in between word
and
the word and when you're doing a list, then you should be able to do it. Is that what you're saying?
If you don't want to do it, you should also be able to do it.
No, because but it looks you're wrong. Better. No, it doesn't look better.
It does look better.
It doesn't look better.
How fucking soon?
No, you can't. You can't. It doesn't make sense with pacing. If you don't have a comma.
If as long as your brain works properly and you read it and you understand it, and I have never seen an Oxford comma situation where I would read the sentence and be like, oh, these two things are obviously together and not the third thing in the list. That's just like the most preposterous fucking thing of all
time. That's how you're supposed to read a list. Your brain is not the one that doesn't work properly.
You're supposed to read the list like this and this and this, not this and this and this. That's how you're reading
but,
it.
But how
this
you,
could be a 45-minute argument, so we should stop.
How do you differentiate between... How do you differentiate if you do intend for it to be this
and this? This is the last thing I'm going to say about it, is I am less...
You're wrong?
No, I'm not wrong. Because again, just what I just said, I don't think there is a wrong or a right. My preference, and I think what the preference should be from a visual aesthetic perspective.
Here's my preference and the preference that everyone should have.
Because that's my opinion.
Here's what the preference should be.
That's how debate and arguments work.
Yeah, I know. Only one of us having this conversation has won speech and debate awards in their life.
And it's really, really paid off. From a visually aesthetic perspective... There is no reason why it should be there. It just looks wrong.
Doesn't look wrong.
It does look totally wrong.
It looks wrong without it.
Moving on. My point being, prior to you opening up that giant-ass can of fucking worms.
You're the one who brought it up. I was just clarifying what you were saying.
All I said was something that I felt was pretty inspirational and honest in
and
terms
I was
of
asking
like,
for clarification.
Why should there be any sort of rules or any sort of guidance towards like what your soul and your mind and your heart are saying from pen to paper? That's what I was referring to. And you had to get very technical with a sore subject between the both of us when, by the way, my way, the way that I was taught, I'm just doing it the way I was taught.
Okay, but...
Which I believe in.
Okay. Sure.
Fine. Thanks, Chad.
Okay. That's fine. You do you.
I will.
Bud. You do you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Fuck the Oxford comma. Where were we going with this? Oh, so stuff
like
scenes I didn't like were pretty much everything I said that was like the bread of these like scene sandwiches. But I wasn't the biggest fan of two particular scenes. the scene with what's the daughter's name? I keep saying Sadie Sink. What was the daughter's actual name?
Oh,
was it Claire?
No, it wasn't Claire.
I don't know where the fuck I got that from.
Claire from the Bear is where you got that from.
Claire from the Bear is probably
Claire from the Bear is where you got that from. It was Sadie Sink.
It's not Sadie Sink. I'm pulling it up right now. Hold on. His daughter's name is Ellie.
Ellie, I knew
Ellie
that.
And Thomas when, like,
she, oh, they were smoking weed.
They're smoking, it's like, she drugs him, essentially. Well, she drugs Charlie, knocks him out, and then, like, smokes weed with him and takes the videos and takes the recordings as, like... Like, that's, like, the height of, like, how frustrating that character is. And it's just all very odd. And that's, like, the worst it felt, like, theatrically to me. And then the follow-up from that is, like, when the shit hits the fan and, like, the mom comes in and there's that big argument but and, like, this divorced couple chat that, like, it ebbs and flows so much in terms of, like, 1 minute she's, like, cuddled up next to him, like, and, like, obviously showing remorse and concern and even a shred of guilt about where he is. And then it's just, like, vehement anger. And I get that feels probably pretty real in that extreme situation. It doesn't mean it makes it an entertaining or good scene to watch.
Sure, but Aronofsky likes to make it real.
Sure. It is through and through Mickey Rourke and Evan Rachel Wood in The Wrestler.
Yeah.
I mean, both the daughter and Charlie and both the wife and Charlie as well. Like, that's what that is.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of it. There's some really good writing in this story. So, like, there's a lot of good lines and a lot of good, like bumpers and hits from a crescendo perspective that, like, contextually work. But, and, like, they hit at the right moments. It just takes so much to get there.
Yeah.
That, you know, so, like, when he says earlier, like, who would want me to be a part of their life? Like, the way that he says it and in the context in which he says it, it's, like, fucking huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
But its impact is, like, imagine if leading up to that, the sentiment was consistent. That's my biggest problem with the movie, which I still did like.
Yeah.
Is there anything, any other scenes or any other things you particularly didn't like?
No, I agree with that. Smoking the weed or whatever, and then, like, how she just started going, much more aggressive, just kept getting more aggressive, more mean, more aggressive, more mean. I didn't particularly like that. But yeah, I would agree with you.
I forget what it was. Oh, and also, like, the binge eating scene. Like, I'll never watch that scene again. It's gross.
Yeah, I can't even.
This is very, very hard to watch. Well, we kind of tackled all the extra stuff in terms of, you know, makeup, hairstyling, which is what it did win its other Oscar for, besides Brendan Fraser's performance.
Frasier.
I hate you. MVP and LVP.
I mean, we talked a lot about performances. Obviously, Brendan Fraser won an Oscar for it.
I do think Brendan Fraser is the MVP of the movie, by far.
I think Sadie Sink still did a phenomenal job because, like, I hated her. I hated her. And that's... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, that's how the character was written, but I think she did a really great job of just, like, being unremorseful until the very end, unredeeming. And then, like, that, the last, like, 5 minutes, you know, like, all the anger, all of the regret, and then, like, just, you know, like, daddy, like, yeah. No. What I thought that was really well done. I thought she did a fabulous job.
So there's only... five characters that have, like, speaking parts in this, right?
Thomas, Charlie, Ellie,
the ex-wife,
Mary,
Liz.
And Liz.
Yeah. She's actually one of my two LVPs.
Really?
I thought she was pretty one note. Ultimately, I think I'm going to go with my other LVP, but I did, as somebody who really liked her in Stranger Things, I felt like, on top of how the character is written, I think her extremes didn't, like, there was no nuance to it at all. And if there was, it felt very forced. So, she's ultimately not going to be my LVP. But I think Fraser really, like, I came in this being like, all right, let's see how bad of a best actor this really actually is. It's just, we feel bad. Your career went to shit. You're doing the fat suit thing. Let's go for it. Especially based on all the clips, like that one clip of him, like, I have to prove I did one thing, like it in and of itself, like isolated, yeah. I don't think is good. But like in the context of like
of everything else,
like what happens around it. Again, this is a movie that's like constantly surrounded by conflicting methodology. Like, it really, really hit and works. I think he really kills this movie, particularly in the quieter, simpler moments that are 75 to 80% of what the movie actually is. Then there's, like, a 5% where it's like, all right, like, you're probably doing a little bit too much.
Yeah.
You know, too much. Hey. And, like, then there's another 15.
You never 15. Said that.
What?
You never said that.
Yeah, I think it's him. I think he's absolutely fantastic. And
Brendan Fraser.
Fraser. I always love my girl Hong Chow. I always ride with her. She's always excellent. I think she's excellent in this. She just is like so incredibly natural in everything she ever does, whether it be like fucking Lady True in Watchmen or fucking the crazy ass waitress in The Menu or like this like conflicted, you know, earnest friend. I think she's really, really good. I did want to look real quick just to see. I want to see who Brendan Fraser beat for best actor here. So I'm curious what his competition was. In hindsight, though. Austin Butler and Elvis. Hate that movie. Austin Butler is very good. Colin Farrell and The Banshees of Inisherin.
Overrated. I didn't understand anything that overrated was
happening. As fuck movie, but Colin Farrell was great in that movie. Paul Mescal in Aftersun. Didn't see it. And Bill Nighy in Living. So, yeah, I'm actually kind of fine with this win. What a weak, weird fucking category. So, LVP.
Well, you already said Sadie Sink was on your list. She's not on mine. Correct. So
I think it kind of has to be the ex-wife, unfortunately.
You. What about Thomas?
I liked him. I didn't think I was going to.
I didn't think he was going to have such a big part.
Neither did I. I thought he was just going to be in that first scene and maybe he comes back later, maybe a rule of threes.
Yeah.
I liked him because I think he filled this, like, hopeful slash hopeless sense of kind of, like, aims and ideals and, like, what you're trying to accomplish and how it doesn't fit in, like, the world you're surrounded by. I think he did a good job. I don't think... If I had to, like, say, I don't think he was the worst part of the movie. I think because of I didn't appreciate the scene, and I think a lot of what I didn't appreciate the scene for was Samantha Morton's kind of, like awkward, abrasive, awkward, abrupt, abrasive energy.
Sure, but you also have to understand, like, the emotion. I think that they did a good job because, like, in that situation, like, emotions are raging through you. Like, you know, like, your divorce, like, not for because you wanted to get divorced, right? Like, your husband left you for a man because he's gay, which is fine, but, like, that happened, left you with a kid to raise. You know, you still love this person, but you resent them because of the decisions that they made, right? Like, they never ask how you are. They only want to talk about your shared child. Sure. Like, I can see where a lot of that comes from, and obviously seeing them like that, right? How long had it been since they'd seen each other? And then you see, oh, like this, like they're morbidly obese, they have congestive heart failure. Like, you know that they're going to die. It's obviously not something that's easy to deal with, right? So I don't want to just dismiss that background when talking about like that performance and that scene, because I do think it was warranted, but I also agree there's only five people. Someone has to be the LVP, even though I do think that the performance was really good based on like all of that, because it's not just oh, scorned ex-wife. It's like, there's a lot of stuff at play.
There's a lot of stuff at play. I just don't think she brought the multitudes of things that were at play. I think she brought them out too inconsistently or at the wrong times in a very elongated scene. And that made the scene harder to connect with because it was too scattered, in my opinion.
Okay.
And also, frankly, a lot of a lack of options. It's not Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
You don't want it to be
Sadie Sink. I don't think it's Sadie Sink.
It's not Hong Chow. I don't think it's Ty Simpkins. And Dan the Pizza Guy just stood there. So.
Well, make it fucking Dan the Pizza Guy. Could have given him a free pizza.
I mean, where's the loyalty program, Gambinos?
Dude ordered pizza every fucking night.
We could go with Dan, just for simplicity's sake, because, like, you know.
Like, he could have also, like, the face, it was just like this. It was just a,
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't like a, or a, oh, you know, it's just
I wish we had any information. There were a couple characters on a couple students that, like.
None of them were credited.
Yeah, none of them were credited. And, like, there's a couple, like, when he does show himself, like, I didn't like their reactions. There was one girl that was like, sure, there's probably some people that are, like, immature and giggling or, like,
doing or whatever. Or people who are, like, disgusted.
Yeah, because like, but, of like, the it, way like... that a couple of them played him weren't great, but we have, unfortunately, no options there. So let's go with Dan the Pizza Guy.
Yeah, Dan the Pizza Guy.
Sathya Sridharan.
Yes, Sathya Sridharan. Do better.
Something else I found interesting reading up on the story. So obviously, this movie, like within the movie, is in 2016 during the Republican primaries because they keep. I don't know what the cause for that was in terms of like him watching the news and like hearing
coincidental
about
coincidental
like,
maybe
or maybe just like wanting everyone to wish that this actually was about Ted Cruz. There was that, but also, did you see who at one point was set to star in this movie?
No.
Well, George Clooney briefly discussed directing the film, but ultimately declined. But Tom Ford, who directed Single Man, Nocturnal Animals, couple good like cult independent films, left it for creative reasons, but originally set to star James Corden.
Oh, my.
Can you imagine how fucking bad this movie would be?
It would have just been Buster for Jones Part 2.
Look. Okay.
Here's all my right. Stupid question of the week, Chris.
No, hold on. Before you get to this, because I'm sure it's going to be great, and I want to make sure it gets the time and attention it needs. Can we make James Corden the LVP of this movie? He was
never in. No.
If there's ever a time to do it, it would be now, but fair. We'll keep with Dan the Pizza.
Later. Yeah.
What is your dumb question?
No, of the week? I was just going to ask you about Buster for Jones.
No. That's all. Ask me an actual dumb question of the week.
I don't really have one about this. Because
smooth. Good, you politician fuck. What question could you ask me that I won't get offended by about this movie?
If you had to order one food, like delivery, every night, what would it be?
Oh, that's a really good question. Okay. Pizza. Like, fucking endless options in terms of toppings. Pizza normally comes with, you know, bread, subs, salads, pastas. Gambino's, I'm sure, had a wide...
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure it did.
Yeah, and that pizza looked very good. It didn't look good when there was another pizza on top of that pizza.
And then it was, like, coming out, in and out of his mouth. Yeah,
and then there was just, like, crumbs and toppings and folds and shirts and things.
Disgusting.
But, yeah, you're not wrong. You are correct. What would yours be?
I don't know.
Is there a cheese delivery service? It's not just like a cheese of the month?
No, I think it's cheese of the month only. So that's what I'm debating.
You only get cheese every month. You can't get it every day.
No, I don't think
there's... Let alone a week.
Yeah, I don't think that there's anything that... You know.
Cheese of the week would be pretty good.
Huh?
Cheese of the week would be good.
That'd be good. Da, da, da,
da, da, da. Cheese of the week.
That was the cheese of the week. That was for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Probably midnight cookie.
Look.
I love midnight cookie.
With the combo California chicken grill.
Oh, man. California chicken grill.
There is one... In Tallahassee, and it's like, look, it's good. It wasn't that good. It wasn't that good to go to Tallahassee. I'm just going to rant one more time for my rant of the week. Like, yeah, look, dude, you are who you are. You have, like handles to pull yourself up in and out of bed.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have to set things up. Like, you don't know that you probably have congestive heart failure? Like,
some people don't realize.
You are a professor, right? Like, you are a smart human being.
Well, no, he taught, like, online.
But prior to that, he wasn't. Prior to that, I think he was a college, an actual in-person college professor. I don't know what esteem he was in, but still, that requires you to have a PhD, right?
I don't think so. Not every college professor is a doctor.
Assumably.
I mean, they have to have, like, a teaching
degree.
You
don't know the 238, like, when she was taking his blood pressure.
You already said this.
But I'm like, this is my rant. Let me rant. I was like, watch it be, like, 2-something. That's insane. And then when they said it, I'm like, that's insane. Like, that's not, like, that can't be.
And but then, it is.
Him Googling it and then opening up a candy drawer and, like, debating a Three Musketeers. It's like,
Chris, depression does crazy things to you, babe.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it's hard to suspend my disbelief in some cases.
But that's how people live.
Well, they shouldn't.
Like that, okay. I'll tell them you said that.
No, I'm sorry. So yeah, that's all I'm saying. It's just a little ridiculous. Anything else on the whale?
No, I think we've covered everything.
We both gave it a 7. Would you like to change or modify your score?
I think we waxed nostalgic about this a little bit. We said some really good things about it, actually. But I'm going to leave it at a 7.
I'm going to drop my score to a 6.
Oh, okay.
They're, like, really rereading my notes and talking through it, every single positive moment in this movie had either, to me, a significant come down or came out of a particular, like, doldrum of the movie that was hard to get through. So it just totally was, like, all over the place, both in terms of Ellie's character, both in terms of what I perceive to be, you know, kind of playing down and what a lot of people were complaining about, like how this movie perceives, like, morbidly obese and, like, binge eating.
Yeah.
How it is. Like, I think it's a little more problematic than we probably let on.
Sure.
But it has, I think, a good script and a good set of performances that, had it been handled a little bit more delicately, I would have liked even more. So I'm going to go with a 6.
Okay, I think that's fair. I think it's fair. And like I said, like, I mean, it wasn't the easiest watch for me.
Oh, no, I'll never watch this
especially
again.
With, like, my relationship to food. If this was 20 years ago, I would have had a completely different reaction, I think.
Interesting.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I was actively suffering from eating disorders.
Me too. I would have been like 140 pounds.
You didn't have an eating disorder, though. You just...
No, but I would have been snickering and laughing and judging this movie so much more than I still was.
Sure.
Because I was looking at it from, like, a pacing and a film perspective.
I understand.
And I would have been like, ha-ha, look at Tits McGee here, you know.
Well... Right, but I would have been approaching it from a, like, complete opposite.
Yeah.
Because I was, like, the only thing I could control is, like, eating and lack thereof. And it's, you know, doing these things to my body and watching, like, the antithesis of that. It just would have been hard.
Sure.
To be quite honest. So...
All right, so this was a random movie, so do you want to pull up the random number generator,
gosh.
Or do you want to pull up the list?
I'll pull up the list.
The list, okay. So tell me what numbers I'm needing to
complete
generate.
Complete movie list?
Oh, and I actually had an idea for this going forward.
Oh, okay.
So, to give us some flexibility, what I'd like to propose is, from now on, if we do a random number, and what we pull has already been watched... We then get to pick the movie based on what's in between it. So let's say we whatever number the whale was. Let's say we put that right now. whatever is right before and right after the whale on the list.
That hasn't been watched.
That hasn't been watched.
Okay.
Or, sure. Yeah, I think that's fair in terms of like, hey, we got lucky here. We get to choose our poison.
Yeah. Okay.
So one to what? 2,000?
162.
Good Lord. All right, we got number 872.
I thought you were going to do it.
Well, because Andrew just texted me something about Doodlebug, too. And that fucked me up.
Andrew and Doodlebug. All right, 872. Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, okay. 872. What are we hoping for here?
Something light and easy. That's not...
Give me the opposite of light and easy.
Oh, God. Like, the zone of interest.
No.
I don't know.
I mean, probably... I guess not. We recently watched this movie, actually. The Hateful Eight.
Oh, yeah, I just watched this on Netflix a few weeks ago.
Not light and easy, but, like, rather heavy. Still your least favorite Tarantino film?
God damn it.
You dropped something.
I'm not the biggest Jackie Brown fan. But I've seen it less than The Hateful Eight now after I watched this.
Right.
It's between the two of them. It's just got a lot of problems. We'll talk about it in a couple weeks.
Oh, great.
We are watching that and Bamboozled back to back.
We should do a double feature.
We should donate to the NAACP. Cool. All right. Oh, it's also like a 2-hour and 45-minute movie. I also wanted something short because we're so busy coming up. That's going to be... So bear with us.
Watch it with your mom for her birthday.
I am good. I am good. Yeah, we have nothing to watch with my mom. We're not watching Quick Change, Bamboozled, or The Hateful Eight with my mom. Maybe fair warning.
We might just throw something in there.
I may ask my mom, hey, what movie do you want to watch? We have to watch something for the podcast and just knock
She's
that out.
She's probably going to pick Smokey and the Bandit.
I mean, then I'm going to make Diablo sandwiches and I'll have Dr. Peppers.
Shut the fuck up. That's a great idea. We should do that for her birthday. She'd appreciate
that.
What
is a Diablo sandwich again?
I don't remember, but he needed it real goddamn fast.
Diablo sandwich. I'm looking it up. So a Diablo sandwich is, come on, AI, most famous. I know, yeah.
Spicy and saucy sandwich, jazzed up sloppy Joe. Shredded pork or brisket, spicy sauce, and sometimes other additions like red onions or jalapenos. The movie version is often associated with a Dr. Pepper. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, we can do that.
We'll see. So bear with us over the next few weeks. With we have travel.
Hey, look
and
at that
work
shit. Look at that.
I mean, yeah, it looks great. But
put
like,
the carrots on it.
You lost me on. You lost me at spicy carrots. Thank you for listening.
I never said spicy
carrot. Spicy carrot, Barry Windham.
Spicy carrots are delicious.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Married Movies. We encourage you, as always, go to arcadeaudio.net for this podcast and the others in our network of shows. Rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you're going to patreon.com/arcadeaudio for bonus content, Facebook, and Twitter as well. You can find me at your host, Malt38, on Instagram for you.
At JamWithYourSam.
Also, marriedmovies@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know how you feel about Oxford comma. Not the Vampire Weekend song, but the actual Oxford comma. That's it.
Okay.
Are you fine with that?
Yeah.
What the fuck, Chewy?
I put this in my mouth.
Come on, you couldn't have
done.
You couldn't have gotten through the whale episode without putting food in your mouth.
I thought I was done. I'm so sorry. I'm pretty sure Carly likes the Oxford comma, but it's actually something I don't know. It could be the end of our friendship. For Mullet.
This is Mullet.
Signing out for next week's episode of Married with Movies. We'll catch you next time on our couch.
/ the movies. Thanks for fucking finishing out the podcast with something in your mouth, Augie.
I'm so sorry. I thought I was done.
Thank you for playing Arcade Audio. Play more at arcadeaudio.net.